Well, great to see you here this morning. This is the first talk in the Understanding Our Church as the Body of Christ series. And it's titled All Saints Church, One Body, Many Parts. We're going to look at that reading we just heard from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 13. What does it mean to say that the church is the body of Christ? Each week we'll look at a different Bible passage so that we can answer this question and grow in our understanding. This may be a familiar topic to you. It may be brand new. So wherever you're at this morning, our aim is to grow in our understanding of our church, All Saints Church, as the body of Christ, and be encouraged in our service of one another as part of the community. So today we begin with Romans chapter 12, which we just heard read by Margaret. Be helpful if you can have that Bible passage open in front of you. We'll look at some of the details together. And it's on page 1139 in the church Bibles. There's one under your seat. I've got 4 points for this talk to guide us through. The first two are quite quick. And in the first 3 points, we're going to focus on verses 4 and 5. And then in the final point, 4, we're going to go big picture on Romans and to think about how this passage fits into the overall message. The space to take notes on page 4 of the notice sheet, if that helps you. Let's pray and ask for God's help. Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you and ask that you give us understanding about this important and life-giving aspect of your word. Please sow your word in us that we might produce a harvest in our hearts that is pleasing to you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So we begin by focusing on verses 4 and 5. Please look with me. And here is the doctrine of the body of Christ presented to us. Just as each of us has one body with many members, that is, we've got hands and legs and feet, etc., and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body. Let's unpack that together. Firstly, verse 5. In Christ, we who are many form one body. This tells us a very basic thing about being a Christian, that it's not a solo activity. Many people today see spirituality as an individual pursuit. It's a solo activity that doesn't really involve others. So if there's a gathering element with other people in the spiritual practice, well, it doesn't really particularly matter who's there, how many people are there, who they are. But not so with biblical Christianity. In Christ, we who are many form one body. The basic message is that in the church, we need each other. I want you to take a moment to have a look around the room at the other people who are here. I know it's slightly awkward, but would you just turn and just actually clock a few faces of the people who are here? We are one body. These people here, not some theoretical bunch of people out there somewhere. No, these people sitting here. Obviously, we're not all here today. There are people who haven't been able to make it. But for better or worse, we are one body. If you're part of this community as opposed to a visitor or a guest for the day, this is your church and this is the church that you are part of, the body of Christ. In Christ, we who are many form one body. Please look again at verse 5. In Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So that's my second point. Each member belongs to all the others. Now, that's an amazing statement, isn't it? We belong to each other. Following Christ is definitely not a solo activity. Sometimes people ask the question, do you have to go to church to be a Christian? I wonder if you've ever been asked that, or maybe you asked it yourself in the past. If you're asked that question, I wonder how you'd reply. The difficulty is it's actually the wrong question. That makes it very, very difficult to answer. When we apply these scripture verses about the body of Christ to this question, we find that it starts with a wrong premise, doesn't it? Because it understands church primarily as something that you go to. But the church is much more fundamentally something that we are part of, in the same way that your arm is part of your body. When you realize that all the members belong to all the others, you see that being part of a church is essential for every Christian. How can you serve others? How can you be part of them if you never meet them, or if you don't know their needs, or even their names? And this is why coffee after the service and occasional meals together are such an important part of our life together. There are times when we can connect and find out about each other, get to know others in our community. The lockdowns have weakened our church community because we were unable to regularly spend time connecting together. A number of us, about maybe 40, 45 a week, joined in on the Zoom time, and actually that was great, and there was a body connecting. But that was a subset of the whole church community. And informal social times are part of being the body of Christ together, when we get to know about others' needs and how we can help each other. When we realize that in being a follower of Christ, each member belongs to all the others, we grasp something simple yet profound. Being part of the body of Christ is much closer to being part of a biological family than many people realize. I belong to you like a foot belongs to a leg. You belong to the person sitting next to you like your finger belongs to your hand. We belong to one another like your shoulder belongs to your back. What the Bible is teaching here is profound, and perhaps for some of us quite uncomfortable. Maybe it's too close and we don't really want to be in church at that level. But let the word of God speak to you today. And even if this feels too much, I encourage you to keep listening. Real Christian life and meaning is to be found as we put this teaching into practice. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Thirdly, there are a variety of functions in the church community. Think about your own body for a moment. Your arms, your legs, your neck, fingers and toes. Perhaps you want to wriggle them around a little bit. Paul writes in verse 4, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body. In a body, each member, that is each part of the body, each limb of a body, has a different function. They don't all do the same thing. Although you are one person, there's a variety of different parts and components to your body. Well, that's obvious, isn't it? Obvious in the human body. Your hand has a different function to your knee, and your liver has a different function to your bones, and your blood cells have a different function to your arteries. And yet, together, they all make up one organism, the human body. And no doubt you are grateful to God that he's made you this way, because the alternative could have been different. This is Valonia ventricosa, bubble algae, also known as sailor's eyeball. And it's one of the largest single-cell organisms in the world. It's found in tropical oceans. God could have made you a single organism without limbs or members, like sailor's eyeball. But I hope that you're glad that he didn't. If he had, there'd be a whole bunch of stuff that you couldn't do, like basically everything. Without an eye, you wouldn't be able to read books. Without a tongue, you couldn't taste pasta carbonara. Without legs, there'd be no traveling. Without fingers, no writing, typing, or mobile phone. There is variety in the human body. Although the body is one organism, it's not a single-cell organism. There's a diversity of functions in its parts. And this is a good thing. There's a variety of spiritual gifts in the body of Christ. We aren't all the same, and God meant it to be this way. Let's read verse 4 again. Just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. God graciously gives different gifts to each Christian. And this teaches us that we belong to each other in different ways. We contribute to each other's needs in different ways. And from this, we can conclude that each of us shouldn't expect or demand that others serve the church in the same way that we do. We shouldn't look down on each other's gifts. And we shouldn't be proud about the way we are serving others in the church. If you don't appreciate the diversity of gifts that God has placed in his church, it might result in you thinking or feeling that you're better than others. That's not the way it should be. And church isn't a club for one very specific type of people. Like, say, a club for short weightlifters who are under the height of 5'6". No, church is to be a mix of people with very different spiritual gifts. There are a variety of functions in the church community. And this is a wonderful biblical truth. I hope it's an encouragement to you that you have something to offer. Quite often people can feel, you know, they see other people, someone with such and such a gift, and they feel worthless or they've got nothing to contribute. It's not like that with the body of Christ. God gives everyone something to serve with. Fourthly and finally, we come to what I think is the most important and exciting bit of teaching for us from this passage. Your transformation as a Christian is a community activity. God wants each Christian to grow and mature in living to please him. Romans 12 shows us that this transformation is a communal activity. So far, we focused in on three verses with a micro lens, but now I want to pull back and use a macro lens to see the big picture. If we look at the context of this bit of teaching in the book of Romans, we find that in chapters 1 to 11 of the letter, Paul has been explaining the gospel message, why we need to be saved, what we are saved from, how we are saved. Chapter 12 is a big change in direction for the letter. Having explained the gospel, Paul begins chapter 12 with the word therefore, and the word is significant. Chapter 12 and following are about how we live in response to the salvation we've received from God. So chapter 12 begins in verses 1 and 2. Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Maybe you know those verses well. They're quite famous. God wants you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is our response to the gospel message. We aren't to live just as the rest of society does. Rather, we're to live according to God's will in response to his mercy, and that may mean living in quite different ways to the people around you. As our minds are renewed, we'll be better able to understand God's desires, and we can be transformed to match what we learn from the scriptures. To use a theology term, this is the process of sanctification, of being sanctified through your Christian life. From verse 3, Paul moves on to explain about the church being like a human body with many members that perform different functions. Each member of the church belongs to all the others, just as the members of your body belong together. And what this shows us is that the transformation of your mind in verse 2 is a community activity. You could very easily think that transformation is just about you and God. You could think that it's a private and personal spiritual quest. But the doctrine of the body of Christ shows us that it's a community activity. We need to join up verses 1 and 2 with the verses following about the body of Christ. So if Margaret is to be transformed so that she knows God's will and no longer conforms to the pattern of the world, then she needs others' gifts, your gifts, in the body to enable this. She needs others to minister to her. If Danilo is to be transformed so that his mind is renewed, he needs the gifts of others. And it's the same for Gavin and Grace, for Taiwo and Helen. It's the same for all of us. The message is simple. We need each other. We're in this together. So Christian transformation is not a game of chess that you play on your own against a computer. No, it's a team game, where we each play different positions on the same team with the goal of growing in Christian maturity as a community. And our goal is to build one another up in love as each part does its work. Romans 12 tells us that we can't do it on our own. We really can't. Each of us needs the others to transform us. And each of us has a gift with which to help the transformation of others. It's interconnected, isn't it? That's how it works. The individual and the whole, the body and the parts. You can't say that one's more important than the other. And this is what is meant by the term every member ministry. So do you know what your spiritual gifts are? Have a look at verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. What grace has God given to you for the benefit of others in the church family? Verses 6 to 8 give us a list of some spiritual gifts. Now, other Bible passages have lists which aren't identical. They include some different gifts. So this list isn't complete. But here we find prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, contributing to the needs of others, giving, leadership, and mercy. I wonder if you have one of these spiritual gifts. And I wonder if you know what these different Bible words mean in practice in the life of the church. If you know what your gifts are you actively serving with them? And our series over the coming weeks will give us the opportunity to explore these important matters. So let me summarize as we finish. All Saints Church, Fordham and Atash Green, is one body with many parts. In Christ, we who are many form one body. Each member belongs to all the others. There's a variety of functions in the church community, meaning we have different gifts according to the grace that God gives us. And your transformation as a Christian is a community activity. You can't do it all on your own. I can't do it all on my own. We simply can't. And God gives us other Christians here today with something to benefit us for our spiritual growth as the body of Christ. Let's take a moment to pray. A moment of quiet for you to pray on your own, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful and profound message from the Bible. Thank you that it still speaks to us today as a community here in Fordham and Atash Green. We seek your blessing, Lord. We seek your renewing, that you would invigorate us, and that you would strengthen us as your body. We pray you bind us together, sinews and ligaments, that we may each play our part. And we seek you, Father, for joy in this, Lord. Thank you so much that you've made each of us part of your body. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.